Here's your pass to the Globe Theater. This is the Globe Theater, the radio playhouse especially for men and women of the armed forces of the United Nations. Just as the Globe Theater has meant the best in entertainment since the days of Shakespeare, today it means the best in radio drama for servicemen and women all over the globe. Here to tell you about tonight's play is your host at the Globe Theater, one of the favorite actors of the English-speaking world, Herbert Marshall.
Hello, everyone. Tonight, our playbill at the Globe reads Brian Donlevy and Lucille Ball in A Night to Remember. The great McGinty is here himself to play a part which is as different from the great McGinty as, as Boris Karloff is from Donald Duck. But I'm certain you'll enjoy Brian in the role of a crime-happy mystery story writer named Jeffrey Troy. His wife, Nancy, is portrayed by Lucille Ball, quite as lovely as ever, both in voice and in person. The play is one of those mystery comedies with a blackmail note in between every gag line. It takes place down in Greenwich Village in New York City. And in case you've never been there, it's a neighborhood where all the streets run in strange directions, where the houses are ancient and colorful, and where art and young love flourish on a shoestring. That you'll find out for yourself as the curtain rises on tonight's Globe Theater production, starring Lucille Ball and Brian Donlevy in A Night to Remember.
The address was 39 Gay Street, New York. I had a strange feeling about the place right from the start. First the scream, and then...
Jeff, there's something crawling across the floor.
Oh. 39 Gay Street, New York. You know, an artist might call that Greenwich Village. A social worker might call it the slums. Sure, I pointed all that out to Nancy, but she was sort of sensitive, I guess, because, you see, she'd rented the place without even asking me, and, well, anyway, you know how women are.
Now, Jeff, I've said it all before.
Many times, darling.
And I'll say it again. If you're going to write a novel about Greenwich Village, then you
ought
to
live
in
Greenwich
Village. You funny man.
Quite frankly, I didn't like number 39 Gay Street. I don't think you would have liked it either. One of those musty old brownstone fronts they'd cut up into small apartments. And when we went up the steps that night and entered the hall, our landlord wasn't exactly overjoyed to see us.
I wasn't expecting you, Mrs. Troy. And not till Thursday.
Well, I thought as long as the apartment was vacant... You see, my husband is a writer, and he's very anxious to get to work.
Yes, we'll be glad to pay you for the 3 extra days.
Oh, no, it isn't that. No. You see, I haven't had the lights turned on, and the apartment isn't cleaned yet. And, perhaps if you'd have stayed at a hotel tonight, by tomorrow I could have everything ready.
Oh, but our furniture's on the way from Connecticut. It ought to be here in an hour or so. I guess we'll just have to... what was that?
Well, it wasn't the 6 o'clock whistle.
It came from downstairs.
Hey, Mrs. Troy, I assure you it's nothing at all.
Mr. Turner, it happened again.
Well, what happened?
Down in the basement, that thing, whatever it is, it crawled across my feet.
Stop that, Mrs. Hunter. Stop it at once. You go to my apartment and wait for me there.
Yes, sir.
Say, what did she mean?
You mustn't mind her, Mr. Troy. She's my janitor, you see. An excellent worker, strong as an ox, but when she works in the basement, she gets hallucinations. That's absurd, isn't it?
Yeah, silly. Well, if you'll lend us some candles, Mr. Turner, we'll have a look at our little nest. Come along, Nancy. Let's you and me go up, huh?
Jeff, It isn't up, it's down.
Well, then let's go down and see our little...
down?
I forgot to tell you, it's the basement apartment.
It didn't look so bad by candlelight. The living room was pretty fair size. One door opening on the street and another opening on the hall. And the bedroom had a door that opened right on a garden. That's what had Nancy so excited.
Oh, just imagine, darling, a garden right outside your bedroom in the heart of New York. Why, we can even have a victory garden.
Mm-hmm. Good soil, too. Lots of iron in it.
How do you know?
Well, isn't that a horseshoe lying there?
Jeff, you found a lucky piece. Pick it up.
Where'll I wear it?
You just hold it tight and make a wish.
Oh. Okay, I made it.
What'd you wish?
Well, while we're waiting for our furniture, I wish we could find a restaurant where they still have some steaks. Cute name for a restaurant. Polly's Stable. Must be a good place to put on the feed bag.
You funny man.
Good evening, folks. How's everything?
Well, the martinis are swell, but I need some toast.
Toast? What kind? White or rye?
Oh, it doesn't matter. I just want to stick it under the leg of this table.
Look, Jeff, while you order dinner, I'll go and phone the cleaners about our drapes.
Well, I'm pretty hungry, Nancy. Will you be back soon?
Uh-huh. And two shakes of a dry martini.
Hey, listen, I've had about enough, darling. You meet me tonight or it's going to be curtains.
Gosh, that's in the next booth.
Yeah, let's meet the same place as before. 39 Gay Street, the basement apartment. You heard me. That's all.
39 Gay Street, the basement apartment. Oh, gee. Jeff, while I was in that telephone booth, I... Oh, excuse me, I didn't realize the waitress was still here.
She isn't the waitress. She owns the joint. Darling, meet Polly. Polly, meet Darling.
Hello, Darling.
How do you do?
Now, Nancy, you were saying...
Jeff, you see that man at the bar with the hair growing down his forehead and the scar on his chin?
Uh-huh.
Well, I heard him threatening someone in the next booth, telling him to meet him in our apartment.
Well, they couldn't meet in the telephone booth, so I guess if they want... Our apartment?
I distinctly heard him say 39 Gay Street, the basement apartment.
39 Gay Street?
Yes, do you know the place?
Oh, sure. I live there myself on the second floor.
Oh, you do? Well, then maybe you know who that...
Excuse me, we're awful busy tonight. See you later, folks. Enjoy your dinner.
Jeff, she acted so strangely. What's it all about?
Oh, I think I better find out. I'm going over and have a talk with that guy.
No, Jeff, don't.
Well, now you just wait there, Nancy. Hiya, pal.
I'm not your pal, and keep your hands to yourself.
Hey, just a minute. Who do you think you're shoving?
Don't like it, huh?
No.
Well, maybe you'll like this better.
Jeff, darling, open your eyes. Speak to me.
Is that guy still here?
No. He's gone. He ran out.
Okay, honey, what'll we talk about?
My hero. Now you'll need two steaks, one for your stomach and one for your eye.
Huh? Home, sweet home. And there's no place on earth I'd rather not be.
Jeff, It's awfully dark in here.
Yeah, lucky we bought these extra candles. Well, there we are. That gives us some light.
But don't you understand? I left a candle lit when we went out to dinner.
Oh, well, it must have blown out. Any little draft could... Ouch!
What's the matter?
Oh, my foot. I stubbed my toe. Hey, look. It's that darn horseshoe. My lucky piece, no less.
That's odd. What's it doing on the floor? You put it on the windowsill.
Say, that's right. How did it get on the...
Jeff, listen, you hear that noise?
Sounds like water running in the bathroom. I'd better have a look, huh?
Hey, not without me.
All right, here. Put the candle down on the floor.
Right.
That's it. Steady now. You with me, Nancy? Nancy!
Jeff, look! That candle is moving.
Gosh.
Hey, what's so funny?
Look, it's a turtle. It must have come in from the garden. You put the candle right down on its back. Hey, I'll bet that's what's been scaring Mrs. Salter, too. Come on, now let's have a look at that bathroom.
There you are, Nancy. You see? There's some water running out of the tub.
That's what I mean. Where'd the water come from?
Well,
we didn't fill that tub.
That's right. We didn't. Oh, I know. That guy from the restaurant came in here to take a bath, but he was very modest, so he blew out the candle. And he pitched horseshoes to dry himself off.
You funny man.
Oh, well, there's no use getting all upset, Nancy. And... what's that?
Maybe he's back again. Jeff, don't go.
Don't worry, I'm not.
Anybody home? Got a load of furniture here.
Oh, it's just the furniture.
Yeah. Imagine being scared by an overstuffed chair. It was quiet enough the rest of that night, but in the morning, things really started to happen. First of all, the police woke us up.
Sorry to get you folks out of bed, but the neighbors complain. Fella lying in your garden without any clothes.
In our garden? Well, he's got a nerve. Well, go on out there and get him out of there. Wake him up.
Oh, I wish I could. He happens to be dead.
And then later, when they had us look at the corpse, Nancy had to go and blurt.
Why, Jeff. Jeff, it's the man you had a fight with in the restaurant last night.
Now, just let me get this straight, Mr. Troy, about this exchange of blows last night.
Inspector, there wasn't any exchange. Only two blows were struck. He struck my husband, and my husband struck the floor.
Ah, oh, no, Nancy, I pushed him once, didn't I?
Now, what's one little push? You didn't murder him, did you?
Who, me?
Say, Inspector.
Yes, Balling?
I got a little dope for you. The guy's name was Kaufman, Lewis Kaufman. Had an apartment up on the third floor.
Hmm, who told you that?
Oh, you wouldn't guess in a million years. Remember during Prohibition, this place was a speakeasy? Joe's place, it was called. And Joe had a partner.
Eddie Turner.
Yeah, that's right. Remember, we grilled him, and when Joe disappeared, well, little Eddie's still around. In fact, he's a landlord of this joint.
That's interesting.
Inspector Hankin?
Yeah?
My name is Lingle. I have an apartment in this building.
That's right, Chief. I got his name on the list.
I want you to know, sir, if I can help in any way.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Lingle. We may call on you.
Well, I'm in the phone book. The Lingle Art Studios. Any time at all, Inspector. Any time at all.
Inspector, if you don't mind my putting in a word.
Not at all, Mr. Troy.
Well, I think you should have questioned him. After that conversation my wife overheard, you should question everyone in this house.
Mr. Troy, remember, you live here, too.
Oh, that's silly. Jeff isn't the murderous type.
Well, I didn't say he was. Come on, Balling, let's go out and look at Kaufman's apartment.
Wait a minute, Inspector. Just look at these books. Murder in the laundry, murder in the air, murder in the subway. Must be a couple of dozen of them. Somebody got murder on the brain.
Hmm. Mr. Troy, you said you were a novelist. You didn't by chance,
You bet. I wrote every one of them. Murder Mysteries by Jeffrey Yort. That's my name spelled backwards. T-R-O-Y-Y-O-R-T. You get it?
Yes. Didn't you write a book called Murder in Prison?
I sure did. How'd you like it, Inspector?
Well, I thought it was the kind of a detective story that knits.
Knits? Oh, you mean all the clues fall into one place.
No, I mean knits. K-N-I-T-S. You spell that backwards, too.
K-N-I-S-T-I-N...
Boy. Mr. Hankins, you're not a detective. You're a critic.
Well, I guess that made me pretty mad. Made me want to show the inspector up, so while Nancy was throwing some breakfast together, I sort of wandered through the halls looking for clues. That was how I ran into Polly. You know, the girl we met the night before. Well, one thing led to another, and then she asked me in to have some coffee, and that's when it happened. I noticed the letter lying on the coffee table, and quite casually, I read the address. To Mr. Andrew Brule, 507 West 12th. Only Polly seemed to get upset, and she made a grab for the letter, but I got it first, and just to tease her, you know, just for a gag, there we are, sort of wrestling for it, and I guess she has her arms around me when all of a sudden Nancy shows up.
Oh, excuse me. I didn't mean to interrupt.
Oh, that's all right, sweet. We were just kidding around.
Yes, over this letter.
Well, yeah. When you get through playing post office, Mr. Troy, your breakfast is ready.
Say, I think she's mad.
I better go and explain. Nancy! Oh, Nancy, wait a minute.
You stay away from me, you bluebeard.
Oh, Nancy, you're not jealous, darling. That's silly.
You're never jealous, I suppose.
Of course I'm not.
How about when the butcher saved me that roast. You weren't jealous. Oh, no, just mad enough to kill, that's all.
Darling, shh.
I will not shh. You were mad enough to kill.
Say, Mr. Troy, I want to speak to you.
Oh, now look what you've done.
Let's go down to your apartment, folks. A few more questions I'd like to ask. Mr. Troy, did you ever see this horseshoe before?
Oh, sure, that's my lucky piece.
Wasn't so lucky for Lewis Kaufman.
What do you mean?
I mean there's dried blood on it, and these strands of hair are from the dead man's head.
Wait a minute. Are you saying that this horseshoe was the murder weapon?
Now you're getting hot, and I do mean hot.
Oh, say, Chief, we checked the fingerprints on that horseshoe. They're his, all right.
Whose?
Yours.
Oh.
Okay, Troy, get your hat and coat.
Wait a minute, he hasn't done anything. He wouldn't hurt a fly. Jeff, darling, don't go. You haven't even had your breakfast.
That's all right, baby. Don't you worry. I had a cup of coffee upstairs with Polly.
Oh, with Polly. Take him along, Inspector, and I hope he gets light.
Well, they kept me down at headquarters all that day. But then some new development turns up, so that evening they let me go. Nothing else happened till late that night. I guess I must have been sleeping pretty soundly when...
Jeff! Jeff, wake up!
What's the matter now?
There's somebody in this apartment. I can hear him walking around.
Well, tell him to sit down.
Hmm? In this apartment?
Shh! Hear that sound?
I wish I didn't.
Don't go out there. You might get killed.
Yeah, I know. But if I just stay here and listen, I'll die of fright.
Your golf bag is standing here in the corner.
Huh?
Maybe you can hit him with a golf club.
I don't know. I could never hit a ball. Oh, well, we'll try it. Come on.
There he is, Jeff.
Huh?
I can see him outlined against the window.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Don't move now. I've got you.
Oh, Jeff. Sure, you got him, only he didn't know about it. Now he's gone.
This is no time to argue, Nancy. Turn on a light.
Okay.
Hey, Nancy, look. He dropped his knife.
And knocked over the screen. If men weren't so clumsy, they'd...
Say, honey, this isn't our screen.
I know. Mr. Turner lent it to me to cover the window till our drapes got back.
Well, there must be something about this screen that... Sure. There it is. He was scraping something off with that knife. See it, Nancy? Something 07 West 12th Street.
That first number looks like it might be a 5.
507 West 12th. Hey, that sounds familiar. I wonder where I... Wait a minute. I know. 507 West 12th. That was what was on Polly's letter.
The one she had to wrestle you for?
And the name was Brule, Andrew Brule. And somebody didn't want us to know it.
Well, it wasn't Polly. It was a man.
Yeah, and it wasn't Turner. He's not that big.
Listen, who's that?
Why don't you ask?
Yes? Who's there?
It's me, Mr. Lingle. I heard a noise. I thought there might be some trouble. Can I be of any help?
Well, if you find a stray heart in your throat, it's mine.
It's all right, Mr. Lingle. Everything's under control. Thank you.
Oh, that's fine. Well, good night.
Such a nice man, always wanting to help.
Well, that doesn't answer the question of Mr. Brule. Say, Nancy, call me a cab, will you? I'm going in and put some clothes on.
Jeff, it's after 1 o'clock.
Well, if Mr. Brule is a respectable guy, he'll be home and asleep, and I'm going to wake him up.
Oh, that's swell, except for one slight mistake.
Mistake?
Yes. We're going to wake him up.
Yes, what is it?
Oh, good evening, madam. I'm sorry to disturb you, but it's very urgent that I see Mr. Brule.
Ain't no Mr. Brule here, and it ain't evening, it's morning, and you ought to be ashamed. Good night.
Hmm. Cute kid.
Jeff, are you sure you had the right address?
Absolutely positive. You know, Nancy, it's funny. His mail should be sent to a place where he doesn't even live. I think we ought to check with the post office, you know it?
Darling, not tonight.
Well, no, I guess it can wait till morning.
Here's the clerk now. Go ahead, Jeff. Ask him.
Here. My name is Brule, Andrew Brule, 507 West 12th. I haven't been getting my mail lately. Would you please check and see if there's something wrong?
Mr. Brule, you gave us instructions over a year ago to hold all mail in general delivery. Don't you remember?
Oh, he's so absent-minded.
Well, is that so?
Sometimes he even forgets he's married.
Well, that certainly clears things up for me.
It does?
Mr. Brule, I guess you just forgot. You called up here about an hour ago.
I did?
Surely. You asked if anyone had tried to pick up your mail. Sounded kind of worried, too.
Oh, he's just the worrying type. Come along, dear. There are others waiting. Come on.
Yes. Thanks, old man. Much obliged.
Not at all, Mr. Brule. Don't mention it.
Jeff, what do you think?
I think Mr. Brule is worrying, too. It's pretty clear now, Nancy. He's mixed up in this murder some way, and he knows that we've gotten a line on him. Well, next thing, I guess he'll come after us.
Jeff, what do we do?
What can we do? Just sit tight and wait. And when he comes, we'll grab him. Ow!
Jeff, what time is it now?
Oh, just a few minutes to midnight.
Midnight?
Say, what are you so scared about? We've got all the lights on. I've got my trusty mid-iron here, and... Hey, the lights! Who turned those lights off?
Not me.
Then it must have been the murderer. The fuse box is out there in the hall.
Jeff, there's something coming through the door.
Steady now. Steady, Nancy. All right, you. Whoever you are, you better give up. I got you covered.
Jeff! I've got him! Jeff!
Nancy, I got him! Give me a hand, will you?
Jeff!
Sock him with something, Nancy!
Yeah.
A chair, anything!
I'm coming, Jeff!
Hit him, Nancy!
I'll help you, darling! There! Take that, you nasty man! I'll teach you to hurt, Jeff! I'll teach you to...
Hey! What hit me?
Oh, Jeff, it's you! Oh, darling, I'm sorry. It's so dark in here. Well,
maybe it is, but I can see stars. Hey, the murderer. Where'd he go?
I don't know. That was the door, Jeff. He must have gone out.
Hey, listen. Police whistles. How did the cops get here?
How do you think? I called them this afternoon.
Oh, look, there. The lights are on again.
They must have fixed the fuse.
Say, did you call the cops or the electricians?
Nice work, Mr. Troy. We nabbed him, all right.
Yeah? Who was it, Inspector?
Mr. Andrew Brule, alias Mr. Lingle.
Mr. Lingle? Who lives upstairs? The one who wanted to help?
Oh, that was a front. Like his art studios were just a front for his blackmailing.
Blackmailing?
Sure. He was collecting from every person in this house, and they didn't know that Brule and Lingle were one and the same.
But how could he blackmail all these people?
Oh, easy enough. Just get something on them that might embarrass them. Funny the things that people will try to hide. Since he only spoke over the phone to them, they never guessed who he was.
Yeah, but what about Kaufman? Why was he killed?
Well, I guess Kaufman was the only one who suspected the truth. And when he insisted on having a showdown, Lingle had to kill him to keep him quiet.
Well, I guess that's that case, Inspector. I sure am glad I was in on the finish.
Finish is right, Mr. Troy. Only it might have been yours.
Hmm?
We just took this knife off Lingle. Pretty mean-looking, isn't it?
You mean he was going to...
Mrs. Troy, he's fainted.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Jeff, open your eyes. Darling, get up. Please get up. You've got to get up, Jeff. You got your good suit on.
Thus we conclude tonight's play from the Globe Theater, A Night to Remember. Many thanks to Cecil Ball and Brian Donlevy for your grand performances. I know that every serviceman and servicewoman listening joins in the applause. Although, in all frankness, I must confess that I had a sneaking hunch that Mr. Lingle was the culprit all along. From a reasonably long lifetime of reading mystery novels, I have learned to look with a great deal of suspicion on those characters with the bland and naive faces who want to help the police solve the crime. However, I believe we are safe in assuming that Mr. Lingle will get his just deserts according to the due processes of law. so we can proceed safely to the consideration of what's on the bill the next time the curtain rises here in the Globe Theater. Our guest, it so happens, will be a gentleman by the name of William Shakespeare, portrayed by the well-known star of the Broadway stage and motion pictures, Vincent Price. If you can imagine the Bard of Avon brought to life and put to work at a modern motion picture studio, well, then you have a fair idea of what to expect in the Globe Theatre production of Mr. Shakespeare. Here are a few scenes by way of preview.
Where are we taking them?
The Beverly Wilshire. I've reserved a suite.
Don't you think it's kind of strange he hasn't said anything?
Well, give him a chance. Listen.
Gentlemen, I beg your forgiveness. I've been through a most harrowing experience. It seemed almost that I'd been dead.
Yeah, but you were...
Maury, well, wait a minute. How are you feeling, Mr. Shakespeare?
Strange. Quite strange. What manner of conveyance is this?
Oh, this is an automobile. You didn't have these in Stratford-on-Avon, did you?
This is not Stratford. What place is it?
Wilshire Boulevard.
Yes, we're in Beverly Hills.
In England?
No. We're in California, in the United States of America.
I have never heard of these places. In what direction do they lie from England?
West.
Not Ireland?
No, far to the west, across the ocean.
The New World?
Yes.
I thought there were only savages here. Do they know of this in England?
Here we are.
Yes. Be careful, sir. The sidewalk is slippery.
To what king does this palace belong?
Come right inside.
What? It's like day.
Maury, go over to the desk and register. It's room 1004. We don't want to attract any attention in the lobby.
Don't worry about his clothes. Any place else in the country, yes. But in Hollywood, they just think he's another dress extra. I'll see you upstairs.
Yes. This way, Mr. Shakespeare. The elevators are back here.
Elevators?
I know this is going to seem very confusing to you. I can offer no explanation. But this is the year 1944. Somehow we've been able to bring you back from the past. I hope you're not angry or annoyed.
Angry? Yeah. Why, this is the greatest thing that's ever happened to me. What an idea for a play.
There'll be a spot reserved for you beside this same loudspeaker when the Globe Theatre presents Mr. Shakespeare, starring Vincent Price and a very talented new Hollywood actress, Miss Betsy Blair. In closing, I'd just like to remind you that every performance here is planned especially for all the members of the Allied Armed Forces. It's your theater, and we want to present the stars and the stories that you want most to hear. A letter to us here at the Globe Theater will receive very prompt attention, and we'll do our very best to bring you the people you are most anxious to hear. We can always be reached care of Armed Forces Radio, Los Angeles, USA. Until our next performance, then, this is Herbert Marshall wishing you the best of everything, and I'll be seeing you.
This has been the Globe Theater, broadcast to members of the Armed Forces of the United Nations. Your host and master of ceremonies has been the well-known motion picture star, Herbert Marshall, who will return soon with another Globe Theater play. This is the Armed Forces Radio Service.